Hello, everyone. Welcome to the ultimatum for Hap Up. I am Asia, and I am here with my awesome co-host, Mary. Mary, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm glad that Netflix decided to just throw us another show. We had to wait 2 years to get a second season of Love is Blind, but then they're like, hey, now we're going to give you Ultimatum again. And not only that, but they've already lined up like three more seasons of Love is Blind as well. So basically, I'm sorry, listeners, but you can't get rid of us. We're just going to be in your ear for a while.
Exactly. I'm so excited. I almost don't know how to handle it because we went so long. I was like, you know, I can space myself out with like wanting this content. And now it's just been like, you know, like a, what do you call it? Like a fire hydrant. Before I was drinking from like a sippy straw.
Yeah, it was dripping. And then all of a sudden it's just completely gushing out. It's like once Netflix got into the reality TV game, yeah. even with The Circle,
yes,
it stuck up on me. You know, you have one season of The Circle, you're like, oh, this is fun. And then there's like, boom, 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 so many. So
yeah.
I'm sure some people don't even know what this is because the ultimatum, it's just like, woo, look at this. Whole new dating show.
Right. It's like, yeah, if y'all are like, what is this? I clicked on this podcast. It said the ultimatum. Like, what, are you giving me an ultimatum? No, guys.
Yes.
This is a new Netflix dating reality show where it's a very complex plot or concept. But basically, there are six couples that are put to the test to figure out if they should indeed go through with marrying their significant other or move on. So basically, in these six couples, one person in each of these couples has given the other person an ultimatum. They're like, look, I want to get married or we're done. So they went on to this dating experiment and they will go through a trial marriage with people and these who also chose to participate in this, and they will choose a person, go through a trial marriage, and then they will go back to their original partner and then see if they want to leave with the person they were in the trial marriage with, they want to leave with their original partner, or they want to leave alone. Did you find this easy to digest?
So we'll get to it, but I think that everyone involved in this process seems to be a little bit winging the format of the show. I think there were a couple of things that happened in the first two, three episodes that I don't think they were planning on having happen and yeah. had to adjust on the fly. Right. So we'll talk about it. But yeah, it's an interesting concept for a show. I mean, I do think that the title, The Ultimatum, Marry or Move On, seems a little bit like a Robin Akiva Need a Podcast title. So I think that it's got that going for it. But yeah, what intrigued me about it was we love Love is Blind. We talked, you know, for several episodes on everything that we like about that show and the format of that show. And I talk about it as being a dating show that actually seems to sort of take the concept of marriage seriously, which some do and some don't. This show is a little bit different. I do think that they're trying to be serious with it. Now, let's start off by just saying the concept of an ultimatum.
Yes.
Yes. Is something that I'm sure most people in long-term relationships have thought about, you know, from time to time. Because while we would love it if every relationship, just everyone was on board from the beginning on the same page, like exactly the same timelines, that's not necessarily how things go. But what's funny is for a show that's called The Ultimatum, instantly in the first couple minutes, we have, it was either Nick or Vanessa Lachey, because they're back, yes. back to host this, says, let's see, they say, experts agree that an ultimatum is not a great way to get someone to do what you want, but it is the best way to get you the answers you need on a timetable that you can live with, which I do understand because a lot of times you're like, hey, something's not great. I want to fix this, but I'm too afraid to even say it because then my relationship might be over. There might be a downside, right? So we push off the downside, mm-hmm. and we don't even, therefore we're living in limbo. We're not getting what we want, but at least we're avoiding the ultimate peril of losing the person. And so that's where this whole concept goes. And it's an interesting thing, but yeah, let's start with the beginning. How are we going to cover this, this hot mess of a show?
Right. Before y'all listen on, this will be entirely so much spoiler territory. So if you plan on watching, just pause, go watch the first four episodes and then come back and listen to us. So what we're going to do for this season one of The Ultimatum, we're going to cover the first four episodes. And then we're going to come back and cover the next four episodes. So subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed so you will know as soon as we drop it. And then we're going to come back and cover the finale and the reunion. So what Netflix did was they dropped all eight episodes on April 6th. And then on April 13th, they are dropping the finale and the reunion. So I like getting it quickly.
I like getting it quickly. It definitely does have that pressure of like, okay, here it is. Watch mm-hmm. it quickly before you can go on Twitter again if you don't want to be spoiled.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's fun. I do think it's an interesting concept for a show. Mm-hmm. We start off by bringing all the couples in and hearing a little bit from each couple, the currently existing dating couples, on maybe why someone has issued an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. And what I thought was most interesting about hearing all these stories was when I heard of the concept of the show and I watched the trailer, I thought, okay, the way this is going to work out is clearly the people who didn't issue the ultimatum, the people who are just sort of forced onto the show, the ones who usually in most of these cases don't want to commit yet, they're going to think this is fine. They're going to go, great. This is a time when I can sort of get a pass to, you know, whether it be flirt with someone else or explore an actual relationship or hook up with someone else. I get kind of a pass to do that. And then I can kind of go back to my person or not. And then I thought, what does the person who issued the ultimatum really get out of this? Because right. It seems like you hope, I guess, that the person that you're trying to get to commit is going to like see what they're missing out on and realize that the grass is not always greener and come back to you. And I feel like that would, maybe I'm just not confident enough to believe that would be my scenario. I feel like if I've ever been in a relationship, I've been like, okay, if I issued an ultimatum, I know that I'm probably going to be the one not getting what I want out of this. So, right. I don't know.
Yeah. That was my trouble with this show. I mean, most shows that I watch and like thoroughly enjoy, I could see myself on, but this is just like never in a million years. If I am in a committed relationship and on either side, right? If I want to issue the ultimatum or I'm receiving an ultimatum, it's like you said, like Vanessa and Nick said, it's not a great idea because it's just like, if I'm issuing the ultimatum, like you're either, do you want to propose to me or we're done? Then won't I feel like they're being forced to do that? Like, it's not like, oh, I want you, give me flowers. Like, okay, then they're giving me flowers because I asked for it, not because it's out of the kindness of their heart, right?
Yeah. So it seems like in a lot of these cases, the ultimatum has come from someone basically saying, I've been trying and trying and they're just not listening to me. Now I kind of need to threaten them with leaving in order yes. for them to actually take it seriously, which it sounds harsh, but like that literally is what the ultimatums are doing in these scenarios. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an intriguing concept. Mostly the reason I think I would not be comfortable with this, besides the fact that I'm not confident enough to ever get what I want out of the scenario, is because I'm not like one of those jealous people that's like, oh, I want to go beat someone up. But like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be hurt. I don't yes. think I could watch someone that I'm dating, like flirt with someone else, talk to someone else, like laugh with someone else. Like I would yes. be that person who, and I'm not like going to walk up to someone and yell at them, but I'm going to be sad the whole time. And I don't want to put myself in a scenario where I'm going to be sad the whole time.
Right. But Mary, you're supposed to be getting to know someone else. You're supposed to be devoting yourself and going all in. It's just like, I don't know how they do it.
I would be Alexis. I'd be yeah. the one who's like, well, I didn't connect with anyone. What did I get out of
that? I'm out of here. This is not for yes. me. Yeah, it's really interesting concept because like all of these couples have been together for at least 1 year. And to just say like, oh, well, no, we're broken up. And like now the show is trying to say like, oh, this person is your ex now. Right. So now you're moving on. You're trying to see if this other situation works. It's like, how do they do that when the person is right there in their face? How often do you break up with an ex and then they're continuing to linger and be in the same room as you constantly?
People on Love is Blind had a hard enough time seeing yes. some of the people that they just talked to in a pod. Mm-hmm. These people have dated for at least a few years. So, yeah, let's talk about the couples. First thing, my biggest pet peeve with this show
yes.
is unlike the very positive trait I think that Love is Blind had, which was skewing older in their cast.
Oh, yeah.
With, I think, especially like in season two, the youngest person was like 27, and it was by a lot. Most people were in their late 20s, early to mid 30s,
mm-hmm.
As Bryce would say. But these couples are, there's one person who's 30, everyone else is under 30, the youngest is 23, and most people are 24, 25, and 26, which is all younger than me. And my, yeah. This is where I feel like a hypocrite, okay? Because when I was 23 years old, 22 years old, I definitely thought like, oh, I'm ready for engagement. I'm ready for marriage. Like, here's my timeline. This is my person. And a few years removed from that, I'm like, girl, I didn't know nothing exactly. about what I thought about my life or my relationship or whatever. And it's like, I'm not saying everyone's like that. My parents got married when they were like, I don't know, 22, 23. Like, they got married same. Young. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it. They're happy. It's fine. People can do that. But right. for the people who are like, I've spent my whole life with this person and I will never be able to, like, I need to have children tomorrow. I'm like, kids, you are 24 years old. You'll be okay. You will be okay.
Yes, that got me. Just like the age. I mean, and Ray definitely pointed it out of like that her mindset is like, oh, you graduate from college, then you get married, you have a kid. That's how you're supposed to do it, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. She says her proposal is, her timeline is college, proposal, babies, then honeymoon in Cancun. I feel like that's not the order. Proposal, then babies, then honeymoon in Cancun.
It's like breakfast, dinner, lunch. snack. Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, it totally allowed me to see where her, because I'm like, you are, like you said, so young, like, like you said, my parents also got married pretty young. Like, my mom was 21 and my dad was 24. And if I think back, if I had gotten married at that age, oh my gosh, I was a completely different person. Like, now at 30, I'm like, am I at the right age to get, do I know myself enough to get married at this point? So it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that simply could have been any of their issues about why that person was given the ultimatum.
And it's not even the wanting to get engaged or get married, because I do understand that. I feel like I have a lot of friends who got engaged or married shortly out of college or a mm-hmm. few years down the line. And some of them have been having children or wanting to have children, but they're all now in their late 20s. So mm-hmm. it's a little bit different. You know, they had a couple years after getting married. But I feel like on this show, it seems like a lot of the people, the reason they want to get married is to immediately start having children.
Yeah.
Again, totally fine if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to say you don't need to. But I also feel like I'm looking at the 23-year-old going, like, you're 23, he's like 25 or 26. Yeah. Like, you can't, what about like saying, let's get engaged for a year, get married, have a couple years, and then have kids. Like, it seems like everyone's like on this panic. Like, is there something going on?
Something we don't know.
Something we don't know.
You have to have a child by 25 or else.
Or else. You know. It's like Bridgerton. What are they like? You're washed up at 26? Like, come on. Jeez.
Right.
Leave some hope for the rest of us.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, let's dive into these couples and get into how this all played out. We're talking about the first four episodes, but we're going to kind of go through like the storyline of of what occurred, basically.
Yes.
So the first couple was Alexis and Hunter. So Alexis is 25, Hunter is 28. They've been dating 2 years. And in this situation, she was the one that gave him the ultimatum. So why did she give him the ultimatum?
Right. So for each of these couples, I tried to figure out what I am diagnosing as their core their core issue, basically, their core sticking point here. And for this one, it seems like Alexis is someone who knows what she wants, knows that she wants to get engaged, is tired of waiting around. And he says, you know, they're kind of at a stage in their life where he thinks he can answer the question. And he seems the most ready, even in their intro package. Mm-hmm. He was like, well, I think I could do it. I just sort of haven't yet. But she's like, well, clearly there's been something you holding you back because we're here on this show and you're kind of all talk, but haven't done it. So for them, I just wrote commitment. He just hasn't fully committed to her. And that's really it. It doesn't seem like they have any core values that are really off.
Yeah.
It just kind of seems like he's probably like most 28-year-old guys, just like, I didn't realize that we needed to do this right now. Okay. That kind of seems like their main thing.
They don't live together, which is like she doesn't want to live with him until they are married, or at least until they're engaged, I think. And so that's one thing that's kind of in their way, is like of progressing. And he also said at one point that he was like, if I met the perfect person tomorrow, I would be ready to propose tomorrow. I was like, wait, so you're ready for marriage? So have you not realized that you're not ready for marriage with her?
I don't know what their issue is. They're the couple who we have the least, I feel like, understanding of what they either like or don't like about each other. We learn a decent amount about them as individual people, but it's not as much about them together. So I'm not 100% sure. Like Hunter, I went on a roller coaster of emotions with Hunter through the first two episodes. I was like, oh, Hunter. And then I was like, what is going on with Hunter? Mm-hmm. So, and Alexis is, to describe her, she seems very confident and self-assured. Most of the women are like very confident.
Very confident. Say. Yeah.
At least three extremely so. So she's I'm trying to think how to describe her. She's definitely like not everyone's cup of tea. She's one of the people who is a classic like reality TV show trope, going to sort of get a montage of her talking about a particular topic while everyone else is like, oh my gosh, when is she going to stop? And it mostly seems like finances, like she's wants someone to be very financially secure.
Yeah, sure. That I think it, so that's what got me with them, was she's the one who gave an ultimatum, but she's the one who has the issue that he makes less than her. She's like, he doesn't make enough, so he's not ready for marriage. Well, then why are you giving him an ultimatum?
Is the ultimatum go get a different job? Like, save up some more money? Like, I'm not sure. We don't find out why she doesn't think he has enough money. I'm not really unclear.
There's so many plot holes with these two. But, you know, that's basically who they are. Where it's just kind of like, we have this basic understanding of why they're in this position. But another thing to note about all these couples is they are all Austin based couples. They live in Austin, Texas. And I was flabbergasted that I didn't realize that until episode 3. I went on Twitter and people were like, oh, I love the Austin skyline right at the beginning of the premiere. I'm like, how did I miss that? So it was really cool seeing places that I recognized. I love Austin. And so, you know, April actually looks very familiar, but she's 23. And when I was in college, that was 10 years ago. So she would have been 13. So there's absolutely no way I know her. But I was like, why does she look so familiar? So really odd. I don't know. She went to UT or not at some point. But anyways.
Maybe she has an older sibling. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
So Madeline and Colby. Madeline's 24 and Colby is 25. They've been dating for a year and a half. Colby is a little puppy dog after Madeline. he is the only one of the men who issued the ultimatum? Yes,
he is.
So he issued the ultimatum because he's ready for marriage, but she's not. And I feel like either he's oblivious or she just doesn't tell him the truth, which doesn't seem to check out because she tells everyone else the truth so harshly, which is, I mean, when she's speaking in her confessionals, she's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about him. Like, I'm kind of excited to like date someone else. I'm kind of excited to see what else is out there. Like, she's another one who says that she feels like she'd be ready for marriage with the right person, but just not him yet. And she definitely would be interested in a different relationship and stuff. Whereas with him, he's like, it was love at first sight. I love her.
Yeah.
I am her whole heart. I hope she can see that. I need her to realize how much she loves me, basically. And he's really afraid of losing her, which is interesting. So why'd you issue this ultimatum? But like,
she's the woman of his dreams.
She is.
The way that Colby talks about Madeline is kind of like how anyone would want their significant other to talk about them. Like how I feel like he admires her.
Yes.
He is just head over heels, and she could not care less about this man. When he kissed her in the confessional, the way that she like winced and like looked at him, like, how dare you? I'm like, aren't y'all in a situation where he's giving you an ultimatum about marriage? Why are you acting like this?
When all the couples go and talk to the hosts for the first time, when they're all sitting around, they're the only people who don't sit together, like on a couch. Like, she takes her own chair separate from him.
It confuses. So they met in college. It confuses me because, I mean, well, you know, actually, it makes sense. They're young. They met in college. She probably wasn't thinking, oh, by saying yes to him asking her to be his girlfriend in college, that this was her forever. So maybe she's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm a little in over my head. I thought we were just, you know, in a casual committed relationship in college. But I think they went to A&M because she was talking about College Station later. So Texas A&M. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't understand why there's such a disconnect.
I feel like the disconnect, I think, with me is like, she seems like the type of person who would just break up with him if she wasn't super interested.
Yeah.
But she's not. So she's clearly got some loyalty to him. And it seems like she wants almost like permission. Like, she wants her friends or her family or someone to tell her like, oh, don't be with him. Go be with someone else. And I think she also sort of gives me the vibe of like, would also make that decision even easier if you already have another person right here lined up who you like just as much, if not more. Like, this sounds bad. I don't know her. Maybe she's not like this, but she seems like the kind of person who would be like, well, I'm dating him for now, but if someone else was to walk by, if the perfect person's going to fall in my lap, like, goodbye, but I'm not going to just leave him because of that. So
she definitely strikes me as someone who just doesn't want to be alone, or like, not alone, single.
Yes.
Because you can be single and not alone. And so I think she's just, she is probably, she said it at one point, she said she hasn't been single since she was 18. So she's probably just been a back to back. She's like Kim Kardashian. She's a relationship type of girl, right?
Yes.
So I don't know.
So I think this is not the right word. I'm not sure what the right word is, but I wrote down that her core issue is basically like monogamy. Even though she is monogamous right now, it seems like she doesn't want to be with him, with this particular person. I don't think she's done dating, is what it seems like.
And it makes sense. She's 24. You know, that makes all the sense in the world. But she did say she doesn't believe that there's just one person for everybody.
Right.
Which,
whereas he believes that she's his heart and soul.
Yes.
Which I don't quite understand, because again, we don't, and I think this is going to be in the second half of the episodes is where we're going to see more about what does and does not work with the couples, because now we're mostly getting little intros and then seeing them as individual people,
right?
Or in their swapped relationship. I'm not really sure. I think it's interesting that they structure the show this way, because I almost would have thought they'd done it the opposite. Like, okay, have a trial marriage with your person. If it works out, great, leave the show. Otherwise, we're going to swap you up. But instead, they sort of end on the person you came in with. And I kind of like that better because it gives you a chance to really compare and contrast. So it's interesting. All right.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's just, that I was kind of surprised by was her last statement with him before they, you know, move on to the next portion of this experiment is that she said the only thing scarier than losing him is marrying him.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What? Those seem kind of different. If you like him, if you're in love with him, if y'all are ready for marriage.
I can only assume that she's told him these things that she's telling us so freely and that he's just not listening. I don't know.
I would hope not. Just imagine she's been like super honest and he's just like, oh, I love your eyes.
I don't
just
know.
Completely blind to, I don't, oh, God.
Poor guy. Like he seems, I feel like he could just try with someone else, but right. Oh, well, we'll get back to that.
And I did not like how they tried to paint. I mean, I know we'll definitely get into it, but I feel like he's trying to get painted out to be a guy that he's not.
I agree. I agree.
Like, what are we missing? Because I don't see this.
It's for clarity, if you didn't watch the show, it seems like they're trying to paint Colby as being this sort of like, oh, he's like a, you know, BMOC, like just wants to like date lots of girls, like blah, blah, blah. Whereas I feel like the thing I'm seeing from him is like, he doesn't want to even try to date other people. Anytime he even talks about that, that's him putting on a fake show. That's not his real self is just, I want to be with this one girl. And that's like all I care about.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a little bit of like a atypical, I don't know, thing. Yeah. I think that you look at him and you'd probably think what the show is trying to sort of paint him as, but that doesn't actually appear to be the case.
Yeah, I'm not sold.
Yeah. So next we have Shanique and Randall. Shanique is 24 and Randall's 26. They've been dating for a year and a half. And she issued the ultimatum to him. This is an interesting couple.
Yes. I will point out that Randall is in Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, which is the same fraternity that Chappelle is in.
Oh,
I did notice it. He had the brands on his arm when he had his shirt off.
Yes, I did notice that. Yes.
Yes. And so I was like, oh, that is very interesting because I would have painted him out to be in a different fraternity. Just knowing what I know about Chappelle's fraternity, if Chappelle listens to this, but just a tidbit for y'all to know that he is in that fraternity. And I thought it was very interesting, their dynamic, because I feel like this was one of the main couples that I saw them very differently when they explored other options.
I agree. When I saw them together, I thought, oh, this is a guy who just isn't ready to commit yet. And this is a girl who seems very assured in everything she wants, but he's not really ready to commit. That's sort of what I got when we saw their intro. Once they separated and started talking with other people, I really, really like them both as individual people.
Same.
I don't think that they click super well as a couple, at least so far. I think that they just want, like they have different things that they need from their partner that they're not able to give to each other is what it seems like. It seems like they're just a little bit clashy there, but Shanique is very, she's very put together. She's very like opinionated and knows what she wants and knows her worth. And I really respect that about her. Like really being, I mean, she's the type of person who would issue an ultimatum, a type of person who says, this is who I am. This is what I know I want. And I want someone to treat me this way.
Right.
And then Randall, on the other hand, seems a little bit more like he says, and I have their core issue written down as finances, because he's the one who says most of the time, like, I'm just not ready for marriage yet. He even says at the beginning, he knows he's not ready for marriage and he doesn't think that she is either. Almost like saying that she sort of thinks that she's this person who's at a particular phase in her life, but that he thinks that, you know, she maybe is spending more money and not really sort of like on the exact same path, where I feel like he is very, he comes across very like reserved, a little bit down to earth. I'm not sure, like, kind of like really, like he's going to talk a lot about really needing someone who like will listen to him and hear his side. And he seems like in his relationship, maybe he feels a little bit like he's not listened to in that way.
Right. It's like, so in their relationship, it seems like she's the more dominant one, but she actually felt even more confident outside of their relationship. I think because within their relationship, it seems like she's unsure of their future. So she kind of behaves in that way. And like for him to say like, oh, I want to get rid of all my debt to, in order to have a great life, her. And I feel like she spends a lot. Right. I do feel like there are a lot of guys who feel that way. Like one of the core needs of a man is to be able to like support or something like that. And so like a lot of guys feel like they have to be able to support financially. And I feel like that, I mean, which I think he later identified was that may have just been not an excuse, but the reason like he was leaning on that. Was it him or was it Jake that said like, oh, the reasons I said, I think it was him.
He was the one who mostly was talking about finances. It comes up with a couple different people. And my opinion on finances, much like almost any other thing that people say in order to put off a relationship, is if you're with the right person, you'll make it work.
Right.
You know, if you're someone who says, okay, well, I'm busy with my career, so I don't have time for a relationship. There are also plenty of people out there who do have those same careers and handle a relationship. So you can do it. And that's not to say make yourself uncomfortable or push yourself to the breaking point. Know your limits. And if you feel that way, that's fine. But what's probably not good is if you know that you're not going to be able to give much into one area of your life while you've got other things going on, maybe don't get into that relationship and have someone else sort of wait around for you to figure that out.
Yeah.
So I kind of see both sides, but I really like them both and I really want them to find happiness. But I think they're some of the people that I don't know if I want them to find happiness with each other.
I know. Yeah. I love them individually. I think that they are both just gorgeous and they both seem like they're confident people. They're smart. They know what they're doing with their lives. They know kind of where they're heading individually, but I just cannot imagine them together. Like even all the times we saw them together, it just felt like y'all know that y'all have goals and you know what you want in life, but do y'all have that? I don't know. Is it chemistry or is it just that natural connection that we do see with some other people later? I'm like, I don't see that with them, unfortunately.
I agree.
So,
and then we have Ray and Zay, two
Ray
more
and
people
Zay.
That I like individually. I think this is my other problem with this show is like, you're given these couples and normally I would say, okay, I'm like rooting for them to make it work. But with these people, a lot of them, I'm like, no, I like you guys, but you have a barrier. You have a thing that's holding you back. And like, it's a real thing. So like, maybe think about that and don't try to force this. Instead, I don't know, maybe you should break up. Like, I want all of these people to go through this experience and learn about themselves and about their relationships. Like it's like when you go through any kind of relationship or breakup, you do learn things about yourself and about how to be better in the future and et cetera. And that's why breaking up and getting back together with the same person can be beneficial if you learn something from your relationship and your time apart and learn how to be better for each other. So if these people really are trying to say, I came in with this person, I would like to leave with that same person, I'm going to use this experience to sort of see how I can be better for them and for myself, then that's great. Do that.
Right.
But don't just like hope that you're going to miss them and miss what's comfortable and then go back and have the exact same problems.
Right. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I miss them. It's just like, I feel like the people that came on here without the goal of like, oh, I'm leaving with this person, but I'm leaving as a better person. They're just looking for anything to kind of cling to. Like, is this actually the person for me? Right. Because yeah. So with Ray and Zay, Ray is 24. Zay is 25. They've been dating for 2.5 years. They dated through college. Ray has graduated. Zay has not yet. And she gave him the ultimatum because she's at this point in her life where she feels like, you know, marriage is on the table. She said, look, he's not going to find better than me. I stay in the gym. I have a degree. I cook. I clean. I know how to bleep. She's like, so what else? What else is he looking for?
Yeah, this show was a little raunchy. A little bit. I forgot about that going into it.
I forgot so many F-bombs were going to be just, I'm like, oh, we are on Netflix. You're right. Yes. This is not CBS.
And when I first heard this intro of them, I was like, oh yeah, it just seems like they, you know, they just need to think about it, to kind of reconnect, and that they're one of the people who maybe like absence would make the heart grow fonder and then everything. Mm-hmm. I learned so much more about them in their last night together, which we'll get to in a minute. But he says that he really likes her. They share all their core values and desires, but this is his first real relationship and he just doesn't think that he's ready yet. He also thinks that she's not as vulnerable as him and won't open up emotionally. She just seems like she wants to be married, but not necessarily in particular to him. That's kind of the feeling that they get. And that's something that really they explore when they have a conversation. Like there's a point where the producers ask her, like, what is it that you like about him? Yeah. And she can't even answer the question.
She's like, can we skip to the next question? Or is that like, the last one?
She gave him the ultimatum.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I'm like, wait, so, but you don't even seem to like him. Like this is, they just don't, like, they don't seem to dislike each other. They don't really seem to have any like major issues. So I wrote their core issue was just relationship maturity. It just seems like that's it. Like they don't seem to really even know why they're together.
Yeah.
So exactly. That was just like the biggest thing, which is so interesting because when you see them both date other people, it feels like they are blossoming a lot more. So I don't
know.
I don't know if this is just like one of those weird college scenarios where you like go on one date with someone and then oops, it's 2.5 years later. Yeah. Like,
exactly. What happened? I think so. Especially like if they went to college in Austin, like if he's still in college and that's why he's in Austin. So maybe they go to UT Austin. That's where I went to school. It's very easy. And I'm sure it's like this at many, many colleges. It's very easy to just, you cross paths with somebody and then y'all continue to be in the same circle. And then this just like, hey, that we're in a relationship, you know, it doesn't take much to make it work. Especially if they are at UT, like the Black population at UT is 4% out of 50,000 people. Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. It's a very like tight knit community. So I could imagine, you know, if that is the situation, it's very easy to make it work. So that's how they just like, they blinked and it was 2.5 years later. But when we met them, I totally just thought, oh, she's immature in relationships. She thinks this is the right path. She doesn't realize there's no depth to like their relationship. And for her to not even be able to explain why she loves him and why she gave him the ultimatum, like that's a huge red flag. And for him to feel like he's the one who gave her the ultimatum because he's like, you don't open up. I don't know how you feel about me. How was he ever going to propose if he doesn't know how you feel about him?
And this is why I got so confused when I saw them with other people, because it seemed like they had better connections. So yeah, they're very interesting. Again, two people that I really like. I'm just not sure if I see. They definitely need to have some time to think about what it is that they like with each other. I'm very looking forward to them getting back together to see that part.
Exactly. The main thing I got out of them was that they have a great sex life.
Oh yeah. They mentioned that several times. So maybe that's why they're together. I don't know. Yes. Some people, you got that, you got it all. Okay. So now we have another interesting couple, Lauren and Nate. I feel like they sought out a couple who had this issue just so they could talk about it on the show. That's what it seems like. So Lauren is 26, Nate is 30. They've been dating for 2.5 years. They have one big core value issue. Oh my gosh, it's like Love is Blind all over again. Yeah. Lauren does not want children. And Nate wants children like 5 years ago. So, okay, we are going to get into some really annoying, I think, topics of conversation on this. It is perfectly fine if you do or don't want children.
Exactly.
That is not an obstacle to try and like convince someone out of. That is not, as Colby says later, like a thing that you're going to help someone overcome as if it's like a trauma or something. Like, right. This is a decision that an individual gets to make. And if they don't want children, don't waste your time trying to convince them. Now, that's not to say that nobody changes their mind. Some people do. Some people do change their mind. But if someone's going to change their mind, you want that to be because they changed their mind, not because you convinced it out of them or proposed it out of them.
So, that was as soon as I heard that, I said, why are y'all on this show? Because clearly, that's I don't think, because they were getting into the debate of, oh, we need to make a compromise. He's like, what, we're going to have half a kid? That I just feel like the compromise is someone does not want children. It's not like, oh, she's like, oh, I don't want children right now. She's telling him at this point, I don't want children. That right there, like, y'all, that you want different things and it's totally okay. She can find someone who doesn't want children. He can find someone who does.
This is what we call a deal breaker. This is not a thing you compromise over. Okay, like, now this is a personal story, not about myself though, so whatever. But I knew a couple very, very close to me who, they were great, they were friendly, they had a lot in common, they seemed fun, and they dated for a while, several months, and they ended up breaking up because they realized that one of them wanted children and the other one didn't. And I said to this person, why didn't you find this out like on date 2 or 3? This is not okay. This is like used to be a trope on TV shows and stuff where it'd be like, oh my gosh, don't like ask somebody if they want to have children like day one. No, when you're in your mid to late 20s and children are like in the near future, when you go on a date with someone, like their first couple dates, you want to be like, hey, so like, what do you think? Like, are you family oriented? You want some kids at some point? Like, you don't need to be weird. You don't need to be like, have my children. Like, that's not what it is. But you need to get that information out. And if that's a thing that someone is not, it's not a, oh, maybe I will or maybe I won't, or oh, I'm open to it, but I'm not sure. No, this is a, I do not want children and I do want children. That's a deal breaker.
Yes.
Why did they date for 2.5 years knowing this? I don't understand.
Exactly. Like, how, like, I know it probably wasn't, well, I guess maybe knowing him now at this point, it probably was something he found out early on and he was thinking, she'll change her mind eventually as she gets older. She'll change her mind, because she was what, like 24 at that point. He's like, oh, she'll probably want him when she's older. But it's just like, I know there are people out there who never want to get married. And if you want to get married, that might be a deal breaker because the other person may never change their mind. You know, it varies person to person, just like it varies with kids. But that's when you have a conversation. And it seems like the way that they communicate, Lauren is not in a position to be like, oh, well, maybe. Like the way that they communicate, she's telling him it's a hard, fast no.
Yes. Which, so, I'm not even 100% sure if it is a hard and fast no after all the rest of the show we watch. So we'll
exactly.
It's not only that, but it does seem like he's saying, like, I want to get engaged and married and have children right now. Are you down? And she's like, no, I don't think I want children.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem to be a discussion. Now, I mean, this is what we get on the show, but they probably have actual discussions, but
I would hope.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is the situation where he's just like, he, in this situation, didn't he give the ultimatum? because of the kids?
Yes, he did. Sorry. Okay, so, he was the other man. Him and Colby were the two men who gave the ultimatums.
Right. Yes. And I'm like, okay, well, Nate, think about it. Okay, she has a kid. And then she's like, is because she didn't want the kid in the first place, she's acting a little awkward. And then you're going to be mad and saying, why aren't you connecting with our child? Hello. We talked about this for 2.5 years. I told you what was up. So I don't know what the end game here with them, because that's a pretty big issue. That's not, oh, we have trouble communicating, or I don't make enough money right now. But yeah,
this is, I think it's time for the first of many, what we're going to call Mary's mom's dating advice corner, where one thing that she told me is, like, you want to try and minimize the number of like things that are divorceable reasons, basically, before you've even gotten married. Oh, so these people haven't even gotten engaged yet. And one of the biggest reasons for getting divorced is differences in handling, if you want to have children, how many children, how you want to parent your children, things like that. It's one of the biggest reasons for divorce. And if you already know this is a huge issue, this is just going to be an uphill battle you're going to face for the rest of your marriage. So just think about it. Life and dating and relationships is a difficult thing, but it doesn't always need to be difficult. Right. People think that you need it to be this like passion and anger and like, no, like you, it should, especially early on and especially on the really big important things, should be easy. Mm-hmm. In those like decisions. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Last couple,
man. These two.
A very interesting couple.
Very. So April, who's 23.
Are you in?
And Jake, how old is Jake?
26.
26. Yeah. They've been dating for 3 years.
Yes.
And these two, it seems like they have had, 3 years is a long time. I mean, that's longer than the year and a half we see with some of the other couples. So they're pretty, pretty deep in. But she has given him the ultimatum because...
Right, at the advanced age of 23, she knows exactly what she wants in life.
That blows my mind because, like,
I love April. I just want to say, I love April. Yes. April's probably my favorite person on the show. So.
Yes. And look... For y'all out there, we are not knocking anyone who gets married in their early 20s.
No.
It's just speaking from our perspective in our late 20s. I'm going to claim late 20s.
Yes.
You know, it to think back to a 23-year-old Asia, that would just blow my mind that person would be married at this age that I am now. Like, I would have been in a marriage for 7 years at this point. I would be a completely different person. But because April is 23 and they've been together 3 years, they've been together since she was 20 years old. She was almost a teenager when they started dating. So I'm sure they have changed a lot. Those are a lot of very formative years. And she wants a ring and a baby. She wants a little April. She is ready yesterday, and she doesn't understand how in her mind, he's behaving as if they are already married because he bought her a car. Mm-hmm. Is that a marriage type of thing? I feel like it's a gift.
I feel like when you're married, you don't buy someone a car. It's just your car that you both have because you're together, probably. I mean, maybe it depends how you split up finances, but
right, that matters.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think. Oh, yes, when you're married, your husband buys you a car
naturally,
of course. But it is like a big thing to do for someone who's not at least considering engagement,
right? Yeah, and we find out from him that he just got out of the military a year ago. And like, he's hoping he didn't really want to come do this, similar to a lot of other people who were given the ultimatum, but he's hoping that this like experience can help the relationship, not hurt it. And that, you know, by dating around, they can get a little bit more clarity in their relationship. I felt like he was never really clear on why he's not ready for marriage with her.
Yeah. So I put their core issue being timeline. It says, you know, he said that he was in the military for 5 years. He just got out and he wants to travel, have fun, just kind of hang out, not settle down yet. So it just seems to be that they're not on the same page about how they want things to happen. And this is another, he was the one who like really spoke clarity into my, like completely changing my mind on how I thought this was going to work. I really thought that the people who did not issue the ultimatum, that they were going to be the ones who were kind of like eager to get out of the relationship, which has happened, is sort of has happened in some of these cases. It seems like that's the case with Madeline. But with Jake, it seems like, and a couple other people, they would have been perfectly content to stay in this relationship in the state that it was in for a period of time longer. And it seems like a lot of them, it's not even like they're saying, oh, I don't want to get married ever, or I don't want to take that next step, whatever that is. It's just not yet, or, you know, not right now, or not because of these reasons. And I really thought this show was going to be about people who were in their like 30s being like, we've been together for 10 years and this person won't commit. Like, that's what I thought this was going to be. And so this is I know some people are going to be listening and they're like, oh, well, I'm 21. Why are you making fun of these young 20-year-olds? No, that's not what I'm saying. It's just the fact that I thought that this was going to be a different show. I didn't realize it was going to be people who'd been dating for a year and a half, 2 years. And they're in their early 20s, and most of that time was college. And I hate to say this. Dating when you're in schooling is very different than dating outside of that. Like, it's not that it doesn't count. I dated all through college. And full clarity, I dated all through from, like, high school to college and a year after college. And I thought, I'm getting married. I'm going to get married at, you know, 22, 23. And here's the rest of my life. Like, that's what I thought my path was going to be. And so I totally understand that and identify with that. But being removed from that, I realized like, oh, yeah, you're dating in college, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're like actually, you know, it's not the same as like living together and being with someone when you have like real, you know, life and finances and things to deal with. So it's a different vibe. But yeah, it seems interesting because I'm like, April, if you were so head over heels with Jake and really, really afraid of losing him, and same with you, Colby, why'd you drag your person into a scenario where they get to date someone else?
Exactly. Like, she is head over heels for Jake. Like, you can tell, like, she genuinely loves him. Like, she...
Yes.
And which is why I feel like she was willing to do this experiment, because she's willing to try anything. But it's like, yeah, but you stand a chance to lose him, because it does seem like she does, like, she's a great girl, love her personality, how she is just unapologetically herself. But she does lack a little bit of self-awareness when it comes to how she is coming off to someone.
Yes.
So, you know, and I feel like that is a big part about her and Jake's relationship. But, you know, I had that impression as well, of that the person receiving the ultimatum was ready to be like, they were going to be the one who were excited about this process.
Right.
But they were totally fine being in this relationship. They were the ones brought on. They're like, wait, what? Why am I'm receiving the ultimatum, but I'm fine with how we are. We can keep doing this for another few years. So
yes, it's interesting. And April really, like, she wears her heart on her sleeve. She's very comfortable showing her emotions, and they do seem very genuine. Even though she's the youngest, she seems a lot of ways like very assured of what she wants, but she does the part where she seems a little less mature is in the self-awareness and the sort of ability to take a step back and say, maybe this isn't the most urgent scenario. Maybe we can coast for a little bit before we settle. But
right.
Anyway, so, and that's now, our couples.
Yes. Yeah. Now that we've talked through all the couples, we are going to talk about the next part of the experiment. So when we come back, we will talk about the couples going through a week of dating each other and then making a choice to move forward with somebody who is currently in another relationship. All right. And we are back. So yeah, this, we had a week, a full week of them dating.
I thought it was going to be like one night.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to like draw into a hat and be like, okay, here's your new couple. Yeah. I didn't realize that they were like, oh no, like actually date and try to find someone that you want to be with. This is not in the format I thought it was going to be. So plus a surprise there.
Yeah. Cause Vanessa and Nick, I missed talking about the fact that they tried to say like, they've done this. They dated for 5 years and then she gave him an ultimatum. And so they each dated another person before realizing that they were the person for each other. So this process works because look at Vanessa and Nick Lachey.
Right. Worked exactly one time. So therefore, no, I'm kidding. It works. Yeah. And I do agree. Like sometimes you can realize what you had was so important and that you mm-hmm. don't want to lose it. Like that's definitely a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
But also, and taking time apart is also good. But I disagree that you need to date another person in order to like realize that necessarily. But it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I did want to read this other quote by one of the Lachey's. I didn't note which one. It says, many of you might feel like you're falling in love. Some of you may become in love with two people, and that could seem confusing or even overwhelming, but that's the whole point. Why? Why is the point to get them confused and overwhelmed? I don't know. They're like, make sure you spend all this time asking the important questions to everyone. Take it very seriously, which I also agree with, because if you want to get married, then you should be dating for marriage. You shouldn't date someone that you don't think that you would want to marry. If you want marriage.
If you want marriage, yeah.
Right. But it's like all the classic dating shows. Like they put you in a scenario where they want you to feel emotional and vulnerable with someone and feel like you're falling in love for the highest amount of drama when that accidentally happens with multiple people. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yay, reality right. TV.
They wanted to confuse them as much as they tried to confuse us with the format of it all. I was just like, okay, how... Because as I watched, I was like, how are we even going to podcast about this? They are all over the place. But they only spent one night with their original partner. And then they had a week of dating other people. And so they just kind of hung out by the pool or hung out in different areas to date other people that were in these other relationships. They're like, now after this one night, y'all are broken up. Y'all are done. So they're dating around their original partners, which already makes it difficult. But they're getting to know these other people now as a single person out of a long-term relationship.
Yeah, and it's not like they're going on little individual dates. They're all just hanging out in a pool area together.
Yeah.
And or like they're going to destinations, but you have just so many shots of someone hitting it off with someone, talking to them, and their ex just like shooting daggers across the room.
What's so funny?
Like, what are they laughing at? What's so funny? What could possibly be funny over there? Right. Oh, that was great.
Yeah. But we had a couple of people that like hit it off right off the bat, which was odd because it was like you came here with someone. So you would think that the person you came with, that's the one you hit it off with. So everyone else, you're kind of just saying like, okay, now that I'm back on the market, who am I interested in? But the one
I need to move to Austin? Because no. I've been on like 500 dates and I'm like, it's fine. Whereas these people, they walk into a room with 12 people and they're like, oh great, three of you I like. What? How is that even you've only got six options and one's the person you came with.
Exactly. But honestly, what are the odds? Because like, okay, the amount of couples willing to do this, that has to be like a tight pool, right? And then to find people that are compatible on top of that, like casting can't be that amazing, right? Like they weren't working with 100 couples here. I'm so confused.
It was amazing how many people hit it off. And we got to a point where I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to all line up and everyone's going to have a whole separate person that they fall in love with. Not quite, but it got close.
But I was really impressed with Ray and Jake. So Ray and Jake hit it off right off the bat. They're having a conversation. At first, he didn't seem too into it. But once they realized all their commonalities like that was it. Like they look great together. They both want two kids. They both grew up as an only child. They both have wonderful relationships with their moms.
Oh,
they're both minimalists and they're both part black, part Italian.
Yeah, I was like, they have the same background. They're very close to their moms. They both mentioned a couple times, like, we check off every single box. We have everything in common, which is good. I mean, I don't know what, I mean, like, where's the spark, right? Like, where's the thing that you're going to bring separately to the table? But you know, maybe some people just want an exact copy of themselves. That's fine.
Date themselves.
They seem to hit it off. And this was one of the few couples who I was like, I'm rooting for them as a couple. Like, I don't like them.
I was like, I want them to work so badly.
Yeah, because I really like them.
And I felt so weird thinking that. But I was just like, I like who they are when they are together. I feel like Jake seemed like such a quiet and just reserved and just, I want to say not himself, like I know him, but he was not acting like himself when he was with April. But with Ray, he's just like, he's flirty. He's just like talking her head. He's relaxed. He's talking her head off. And it's just like, it just felt a lot more natural than, I know, obviously, 3 years in a relationship, that could bring a lot of stress. They've been through a lot. April pointed that out later in one of the episodes, that they've been through a lot and they are going through some major issues at the moment that she didn't point. She didn't specify what those were. But with Ray, I don't know if it's just refreshing for him and the fact that they're so similar, but I feel like they could work.
I think they could work. I think they have one big obstacle standing in their way, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Actually, how do you want to talk about this? Do you want to go through the whole couple or?
Yeah, let's go ahead and.
When they move in or just the dating phase?
Well, just until.
Okay. Yeah. Just the choice. They seem great in this part. It seems like they're very comfortable. Like you said, Jake seems to be a little more, I don't know what it is, like closed off with April. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's it. Just because of what we're seeing, it seems like weird comparison, but him when he's with April seems more like how Sal and Mallory were, where it's like they're like trying to, I don't know, like he's like trying not to let his guard down. I don't know how to describe it better than that.
Yeah.
So they're interesting. So
yeah. So they are like,
I like them.
Yeah. So they hit it off, right? Like just instant attraction. But another one that kind of surprised me was Madeline's attraction for Randall right off the bat. Like, because they're both.
She's still sitting on the couch near Colby her first night. And she's like, I'm ready. I see Randall over there. Like, sign me up. Like, she stakes a claim. I don't even know if she bothers trying to date anyone else. Like, it seems like she just goes straight to Randall.
I don't know if she learned anyone else's name. She said, I am going to focus on Randall. I'm going to make sure. Like, I know he's my first choice. I want to make sure that I am his first choice.
Yeah.
So it felt like they were just getting to know each other, and Randall was he was kind of uncomfortable because naturally you would be in the situation with the fact that, you know, his ex-girlfriend is right there. Shanique is literally steps away, but they hit it off. Did you feel like he was feeling her as much as she was feeling him?
Not initially.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he was intrigued by her. He says that he's intimidated by her because of her sexual powers.
Yeah.
For him. She's very confident. I think that she's very different than Shanique. So she is probably intriguing in that way. I don't know. When they first started talking, I was like, it seems like the classic case of people who would be attracted to each other, date for a little bit, but then realize it's not super long lasting. Like they're the ones who I'm like, I could see you guys hitting it off if you were on X on the Beach or on like Temptation Island. But I don't, right. But I don't know if I see you hitting it off with a show where you're like, our goal is to get engaged. I'm not sure. With them. But blowing my mind that we've got another couple that just seems to connect so easily.
Right. Like, okay, if Madeline hadn't gone to Randall right away, was there someone else? Like, I could see Randall being interested in Ray. Or
yes. I could see Randall with April. A lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he seemed really easygoing and really interesting and flirty and fun, and there weren't a whole lot of people that I don't think I would see Randall connecting with Alexis, and probably not Lauren, but other than that, it seemed like pretty much anybody.
Right. Yeah. So that was a little surprising, but they decided they were going to get to know each other. So they stuck with that and didn't really have options, but everyone else had a couple options. So the first option that had, like, I guess the most drama around it was Colby. He had kind of like, he had Alexis and Lauren who were curious about him. What was going on with Alexis?
I don't know, because Alexis is someone who seems to be very sure that she seems to take a look around, talk to some people, and realize, okay, the only person I'm even remotely interested in is Colby.
Yeah.
And she's pretty open with him about that fact. And now, from the edit we see, it's different from what she describes. So I don't know if this is an edit issue or if she just misinterpreted something. He talks to her and says, like, I just want to let you know, I'm not actually interested in you. I don't think I would see a future with you. And he's pretty relatively polite to the camera. He's like, oh, like, yeah. She's a lot to handle, and I think just not for me. But, like, I mean, he does say good luck to whoever she would be with. But when she asks him, like, why, he says, I'm just personally not attracted to you. Now, either he also said something else that was rude, but that's what the edit shows us. And then she goes on to just be like, well, he doesn't like me. I'm going to try to, like, sully his name to everyone else. She goes over to Madeline, his ex, and says, you deserve so much better. He's like, you can do 100% better than him. You're so rude. You just called me unattractive. And then she's telling us, she's like, I don't know what, like, I look practically the same as Madeline.
Yeah.
They're blonde. Is that it? Is that the only thing that's similar? They look completely different. I don't know what she's talking about. And it's like, I get it. Like, it's insulting and you don't want to feel unwanted. You're not even interested in him, though. Like, you want to be with the guy you came with. Why does it matter?
Exactly. I was like, does she forget what show she's on? She's acting like she's on The Bachelor, and The Bachelor just told her she was unattractive, and so now she has to go home alone. I was like, girl, did you forget you came here with a whole man that you wanted to get married to, that you gave an ultimatum? I was so confused by this, because just the chain of events for her, like, I was happy for him for being honest with her. I was like, good. He didn't lead her on. He didn't make her think that she was a possibility. But the fact that she doubled back the next day to ask him, like, okay, well, what is it? Like, I was confused by you saying you weren't interested in me. Girl, how, you want him to, she at, like, she didn't ask for that, but she dug deeper. He was trying to say everything except for, hey, I'm not, because no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that someone isn't attracted to you, right? It stings a little bit, right? Even if a person is attractive to most people, they could be unattractive to somebody.
Just ask Shake. Right? So
exactly.
Here's some more dating advice from me. Me to you, audience. You may go on a date with someone and they ghost you, or you ask for a second and they don't want to. You may think, oh, well, I'd like to know what the reason is. You don't want to know. You don't want to know from them. If you want to know the reasons for why you might have some deficiencies in the dating world, ask some friends. Ask your parents, ask people who've seen you date or seen the way you might act. Ask a relationship expert of some kind. But you, or at the very least, if you're going to ask the person who's already shot you down, understand that it's going to hurt. And guess what? You asked for it and you don't get to turn around and throw it back in their face. Yeah. When someone says something like, oh, I just don't feel a connection, or I don't see us together, or I don't see a future for us. Take that to mean that they're letting you down easy and you probably don't want to know whatever the truth is, unless you can really handle it.
Yeah. Like, the fact that him saying, I'm not attracted to you, she heard you're not attractive, which she just completely ran with. But no, he said, I'm not attracted to you. That means what he finds attractive is not in you. And that's fair. You know, I'm a pretty confident person myself, but I know that I am not attractive to some people. No one is. Even people, there are people out there who don't think that Beyonce is attractive.
Well, those people are wrong, but okay.
Just that blows my mind. But, you know, the fact that she was just so upset about this, then tried to make sure that Madeline was aware. It was just like, girl, the only one in this situation who looks out of line is you. Because you won't just close that book and just explore other things. I'm like, okay, it was too much.
There was someone in Love is Blind season 2 who didn't get into a couple, but was like, the girl was talking about how much social media followers she had.
Oh, yes.
Yes. It was very similar vibes with Alexis for the, like, little bit lack of self-awareness. But
yeah. Oh, anyway. So that was annoying.
That was but them.
He and did... Then, Yeah.
He does hit it off with someone, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he did have a couple conversations with April, but he didn't feel a spark there, right? So then.
Well, I didn't get, because their conversation seemed fine. Like, maybe it's just like a friendly thing. Like, they seem like they got along, but maybe there just wasn't a connection.
Right. Exactly. And so the fact that when he talked to Lauren, everything was smooth. They talked about the fact that she didn't want kids, and she was like, well, maybe it's not that. I don't want kids. Maybe I just don't want kids right now. And he was able to talk her through it to get a better understanding. Whereas with Lauren's ex, Nate, he just is like an all or nothing. Like, you want kids, you don't want kids. And it's, she's never felt comfortable enough with Nate to fully express how she feels about the whole kid situation. But she felt comfortable enough with Colby. However, Colby has this mindset that he can help her overcome it. He can save her, and he can get her to the land of wanting children.
You should not be in the business of trying to change people in a relationship. You're going to change and you're going to grow together naturally. But right. don't pick someone who's, you can get a fixer upper house. You can get a project house. Don't get a project relationship. Okay. Right? Like, this is not a thing where you're going to cure her of her fear of having children. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He's like, after we got over that kid thing, everything was fine. You're not over the kid thing. What are you talking about? She thinks that you're attractive. And so she was like, oh, well, maybe with the right person, I might one day consider having children. That's not yes. That's not, right? I've changed my whole mind.
Exactly.
I don't know. So, I think that Colby especially is just kidding himself. Like, he's just trying to find someone that he's semi-attracted to distract himself with for the next 3 weeks.
Yes, exactly. Because the woman of his dreams will be waiting for him on the other side of this 3 weeks in his mind. So then we had Shanique. So Shanique had an option of Zay and Nate, which she had a very flirtatious time with Zay. They were, you know, they hinted at like some sexual relations. They were just very flirty.
They were very flirty.
It was very natural too. But then with Nate was promising her how well he would treat her. He would treat her like she's the prettiest woman in the world. And he just basically selling on her on how he would be an amazing, or in his mind, an amazing partner.
I went on a roller coaster with Nate as well. I did with Hunter and I did with Nate. So Nate talks with Shanique, and skipping slightly to the next person, he's going to then talk with April. They have very similar conversations with both women.
Yes.
Nate seems like the type of guy who's like, I'm here. I want to be your support system. I want to be a father. I want to, you know, like, I want to be the traditional, like, supportive husband, which is great and which is fine. But it seems to me like Nate couldn't care less who it's with.
Yeah,
he just
exactly.
sort of like wants that thing and was telling everyone kind of the same thing. Not like a calculated, manipulated kind of way, but I was like, oh, Nate just needs someone who's going to be like, yes, of course. And like, I want that from you. And then they're going to be happily ever after. Like, kind of similar to Colby, except Colby is the opposite because he has his mind set on one person.
Yeah.
But he's saying all the, like, the things you want to hear about that one person. I don't know. So I really thought that Shanique and Nate, because Shanique seems so kind of like headstrong and knows what she wants. I actually felt like that might have been a pretty good couple, because he would, I don't know, listen to what she wants and then try to fulfill those needs. Like, that seemed to be the dynamic that they would have.
Right. Especially since we got that impression from with Zay and Ray that Zay is still, you know, he's still in college. So I'm sure he's still having a good time, especially if he's on campus in like, you know, he's not doing it. It's not like, you know, doing it virtually or whatever.
Right.
But it seems like Zay just wants to kind of have a good time before he settles down. But I mean, that's the impression we got when talking with Zay and Ray. But with Shanique, she saw, I mean, she is interested in Zay and Nate for very different reasons. So like going into the choice, which we'll talk about in a second, I wasn't sure which way she would go.
Yeah, I wasn't either. And I was I was kind of hoping, leaning that she would go towards Nate, but that's going to get complicated in a second.
Yeah.
So, and then last person, April, who I don't know if this was mostly just editing, because everyone else kind of lined up that way. Like, it really, from the edit, it seemed like Ray and Jake were pretty much locked in. So like they didn't any other people. But April, the people left, we've got Nate and Hunter, who, not going to lie, they started to blend together a little bit.
No. Oh my gosh, Mary. You were nail on the head. I was like, why am I getting these two men confused?
Because they don't really look the same. I mean, they both have beards. But like, they're both like, one's 28 and one's 30, so they're older. Mm-hmm. But like, Nate was the guy who was like, I want to have kids. And then Hunter was the one who just, for some reason, wasn't committing to Alexis, but we don't know why.
But we didn't know why. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. So
that was, I was getting them very confused. I didn't know who April wanted. I was like, who was it that she was really into?
Well, because she was crying. And then so she gets consoled by
Hunter.
And I was like, oh, so maybe them. Yeah, it was like the last scene we saw together.
Right.
And he was like, Hunter's always here for you. You can come cry to Hunter. And then I was like, wait, who's Hunter? Wait, are you speaking in third person? Is this yourself? I'm confused.
Exactly. Right. So after this week of dating, we get to the choice. And so I was just wondering, how are they going to do this? But here comes Vanessa and Nick Lachey, and they are at a long dinner table and everyone's there. It was just, of all the possibilities,
this is not what I thought we might vote in urns.
Yes.
I thought that this was going to be like when you're in a sorority and you pick your like bigs and littles, where you like write a list of who your top choices are and then they match you up based on like who you're like. How in the world was this ever going to work out? I'm assuming that they had to like tell production ahead of time who they were leaning towards.
Right.
What is the order that they get to take? It's so unfair because they give the first person, they're like, Shanique, who do you want? And it's like, wait, like, so like by the time we get to the end of the table, is it just whoever's left? Like, what
I was just so confused. I literally had to pause it because it was like, this was not what I thought was gonna happen. Like, literally anything but urns, turn a wheel, vote, or just show up at the apartment and then the other person that chose you is already there. Anything.
Like that you get randomly paired up, like I thought might happen. Like, I was like, what is this back and forth random? It's not even like all the women pick or all the men pick. It was just sort of ping ponging around.
It was whatever Vanessa felt in that moment. Like, okay, well, Shanique, you seem like you're ready to make your choice. Go ahead and stand up at the table and make your choice, because they weren't locked in. Clearly, Nate was able to change his choice multiple times, but we can go in order. So Shanique.
But if you're wondering why we're telling this in such a confusing way, because this format was so bizarre. It was not straightforward.
Exactly. If the show couldn't get it together, you guys, we can't either.
We couldn't even fit it into one segment. Part of it happens in episode 2 and part of it happens in episode 3. And they don't go down the line, because spoilers for what we're about to talk about. Some people do not follow the format of what the show is supposed to work out with.
They don't follow the rules.
Clearly production and Nick Lachey and Vanessa are like, whoa, we weren't expecting this. Yeah. And y'all, it's your fault, because not only do you say so-and-so pick someone, it's like, pick someone and then tell us all the reasons you like them in front of your ex and tell us like what, how you've learned about your relationship. Like, you could have done this so differently to where you weren't just having to have all these people sit there and listen to their ex significant other of multiple years be like, I really learned so much that I never got with them with this new person in 2 days. It's like, what?
Oh, it was just like burn after burn. I mean, I do really appreciate the night before they had that last night together and they're all doing like the games and stuff. Jake was very honest with April. He's like, I'm feeling somebody. You aren't doing this for me. You're not doing that for me. And I feel like the 1 week allowed him to be able to vocalize those things to April where he couldn't before. And the way she received that showed me how much she cares about him. She could have been so angry and lashed out, but she was so, she's just like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've ever made you feel that way. That has never been my intent. I didn't know. I was shocked.
April is my favorite person on this show. Yeah. I've said it once, I'll say it again. And I'm only 4 episodes in, so if she does something horrible in episode 5, I retract this. But because she is so in love with Jake that mm-hmm. she is just like, she will take, you know, he's harsh with her. You know, he's like, yeah. You're self-centered. You don't listen to me. It's always about what you want. And sometimes people will cry and say that they'll change. And then they, in the light of day, they don't actually change. And so maybe that's the case with her. Maybe she's done this before. But if this is actually like one of the first times he's been able to vocalize this, and this is like new information to her, then I do think that she's going to actively try to learn from it. I also think Jake, though, was a little harsh with the like, what you're going to cry and you want me to just like comfort you and get over it, because like that's a harsh thing to say. It was hard. I know that must be hard to hear. But anyway.
Right. Yeah. So we did get she ends up choosing Zay.
Yeah.
Instead of interesting. Nate. Yeah. And so Nate was like, what? She was my first choice.
Because I feel like the people who issued the ultimatums, it would make sense for them to pick each other because they're mm-hmm. the ones who seem to be sort of like more serious. Like Shanique went from giving an ultimatum to Randall because he's not ready to commit yet and went to Zay, who's also not ready to commit yet for similar reasons.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. So maybe it's like for her, but then, it's like, okay, then is it on the other side of it? Or I'm just going to pick someone who I know I can enjoy 3 weeks with until I can go back to my person.
Well, and maybe you pick someone who is like your person so that you can kind of learn the best of like maybe what you mm-hmm. need to change.
Right.
And so I could understand that too. But
unlike Ray's logic, which she wanted to pick someone completely opposite of Zay initially. But yes, Zay picked Shanique back. So it was like, okay, I wasn't surprised about that.
No, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. Everyone's just going to pair up.
Exactly. Nope. Did they naturally transition to Ray and Jake next?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Jake's going to pick Ray.
Yeah. And Ray picks Jake. We knew that.
All right, 2 for 2. Doing well.
Look how smooth. We are just knocking it out. We have our partners.
Yep.
So then
Madeline's going to pick Randall. Picks her back. This is great. Everything's going good.
3 for 3. Oh my gosh. The production assistant is like excited.
Excited.
It's going well.
Yep. Nate is like, I really like April. And then April goes, yes. Hunter, I'm going to pick you. What? So April chooses Hunter, and then I wrote down, poor Nate. He just wants to save someone. And then, out of nowhere, Alexis stands up and says that she's having a really hard time listening to all of these people talk about, you know, how much they like each other and their relationships, etc. This is great. And she's like, not only that, I've had my ego crushed. Nobody here likes me. And this is really hard. And it just really shows me how much I just want to be with Hunter, the man I love, who I gave an ultimatum to.
Yeah.
And then Hunter stands up. Now, remember, April's just chosen Hunter. Hunter stands up. I even wrote in my notes. I was like, April chose Hunter. Hunter chooses her back. April. But that's not what happened. Hunter stands up and he walks over to Alexis and he goes, I've decided I really want to marry Alexis.
What?
And they just freeze on Vanessa Lachey's face, who is like, we did not plan for this. This is not what we wanted to happen.
They're like, no, don't get engaged. What is this?
There were three options on this show. Option one, you go through the process and you leave with your original partner. Option two, you go through the process and you pick a new partner. Option three, you go through the process and leave alone. There was no Hunter's in here like, choose option D, skip the process, just take Alexis back. Out of where? For what reason? We don't know. We don't know why they weren't together in the first place.
Exactly. It's been 1 week. They did the experiment for a week.
Was this to save face? Because he's like, I cannot let my girl sit here and be last picked and just end up with someone who, because nobody wants her.
Maybe.
Was this I don't know.
Because maybe she had talked to him like, look, there's no one else here. Like, what are we doing? I have no one else to pick. So maybe they had a conversation of just like, look, what is happening here? We need to just figure us out because there's no one else for here. The one guy I wanted, Colby, is not going to choose me.
He was like, girl, I don't know why we weren't like, I told you that I'd be willing to get engaged in a month. I don't know why you dragged me on this show. Like, that's what it felt like.
Right.
Because we still don't know why they're not engaged already. I don't know. But
yeah. But yeah, this was enough. Like, her spilling her heart out was enough for him, apparently. So with this, everyone's happy for them, right? Because.
Which is weird. Like, you go on Survivor, you go on The Amazing Race, and you propose, and it's like kind of a sweet moment. Proposing in the middle of this show, like not at the proposal phase, felt weird. It felt like a desperate, weird move on everyone's part who was involved. Yeah. I don't know what was going
on. Yeah, the only reason I was like, okay, a piece of this worked because she was the one who gave the ultimatum. He was the one who the ball was in his court. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to propose. I'm ready now. Which is just like, okay, well, the person who had the ultimatum or who was given the ultimatum has changed their mind. And I guess that was the goal of this show. We'll see, right? But then this just caused so much chaos of just Vanessa and Nick having to tell everybody to sit back down because they weren't done. And you see Nate whisper to Madeline, I'm going to pick you.
Oh yeah. Not only does that happen, by the way, we're on episode 3 now because we had to end on that cliffhanger. Not only that, Alexis is like, oh my gosh, I just got proposed to by Hunter. Everything's worked out perfectly for me. I could quit while I'm ahead. Nope. Time to call Colby out again for no reason. She calls Colby out and she's like, you're not a good person. I mean, I don't know you, but you're not a good person because of that one time you called me unattractive. He can't. There's so much people trying to cut in and talk over each other. And then someone will be like, why don't you just let them talk? And I'm like, they're sitting there just dissing you, not letting you defend yourself. So weird. So all of this is happening. You're right. So that's when Nate whispers to Madeline, I'm going to pick you. I'm sorry. I thought Madeline was already taken.
She's been picked. What are you talking about? That's what was like, okay, maybe the order of this, they put this in weird or something. Because
maybe
it
didn't happen.
I was like, how? I'm literally taking notes. I know that Madeline has picked Randall at this point and Randall has picked her. Is there some loophole where people can change their picks? If he picks Madeline, then, oh, Madeline, do you have an option? Like, what was he thinking?
Have you not seen Madeline and Randall? In what world is she not going to? Like, she's had her eyes on him from moment one.
Yes.
All right. So Colby, apparently it's Colby's turn. I mean, he just got chewed out by Alexis.
Yes.
And at this point, after Alexis is like, you're a bad person, Lauren's going to interject and she'd be like, look, Colby's not a bad person. Like, I've had a completely different time with him. Yeah. He's been great. So Colby's like, perfect. Ego boost. She's in my corner. I pick Lauren. And that's when he says, you know, I'm going to help her overcome the not wanting to have kids thing. Not a thing.
Not a thing.
And then Nate stands up and he goes, see, I don't know what he says. Like, sorry to do this or sorry to steal your thunder or something like that. I don't know exactly what he says. He like apologizes to Hunter, but he stands up. He walks over to Lauren
and proposes to Lauren. And she says, absolutely, or whatever she said was this most energetic yes.
She's like, Colby who?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm getting proposed to by my man. My man has finally realized that the kid thing is not a big deal. What is happening?
My issue with this, which was everyone's issue sitting at that table, was he was the one who issued the ultimatum. The ball's not in your court. It's like he said, he asked her a yes or no question. She said nothing. And he's like taking it as a yes. Because why are you proposing to her when you were the one who gave her the ultimatum?
I don't understand. I want children. She says, I don't. And he goes, that's a deal breaker for me. Ultimatum. We have children and we get married or we break up. And she goes, okay, we might break up then. And he goes, yeah, I've changed my mind. We don't need children. Let's get married.
You're my family.
You're my family now. And what was so interesting was the night and day where apparently everyone was like totally on board with the Hunter Alexis thing.
Probably yes,
because nobody else wanted to be with Hunter or Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
But out of nowhere, this happens and everyone starts going off. They're like, this is fake. This is such a fake thing. Colby's upset because he wanted a chance to hang out with Lauren.
Right.
April's upset because she may or may not have wanted to hang out with Nate. Madeline chimes in and
Hunter.
Somebody chimes in and is like, I just saw you whisper that you wanted to pick Madeline literally 2 seconds before you proposed.
Madeline was the one that pointed that out.
Was that
it
Madeline?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, she was like, you just whispered to me 10 minutes before that proposal.
It was so clear that this was just I don't want Lauren to be with Colby,
mm-hmm.
like to spend any time with him. So yes. I need to like out of fear propose. The hosts are so upset. It is so obvious that they're like, they do not play this off well.
They don't have control over this situation whatsoever.
This was not the way it was supposed to go. This is not a Jeff Probst, like, ooh, exciting.
Yeah.
I'm shocked moment.
This is a live tribal.
Yeah, no, this is them being like, this is not according to plan. We have already booked 6 apartments for y'all to live in. And now somebody's already engaged. Now we've got a second one. Like,
yes.
They are not happy about this.
Oh my, it just went haywire so fast. And there was nothing they could do to stop it at that point.
No.
I was like, the only thing they can do is change the format with season 2. Because this allowing people to just talk over each other, change their minds, not have their decision locked in. Like, you choose your person, you bring it in on a sealed envelope. That's the person you're choosing.
Period. You don't even do that. You have a couple of days where you date, maybe, or maybe skip that step, but I don't care, whatever. And then you show a scene of everyone walking into an apartment, they open the door and they see who they're living with.
Yes.
And it's away from their exes. Because when you have this conversation at a table with everyone together and say, like, one at a time, we're going to go around and talk about how we fell in love with someone else, basically.
Yes.
Like, that all that's going to do is try to bring out the jealousy and the fear in your partner. And like a little bit of jealousy is healthy for, you know, you don't want someone to feel like they undervalue in a relationship and that like they feel like, oh, well, I'm safe with this person and they're, you know, no one else would ever be interested in them. So like, mm-hmm. you don't want to take them for granted. That's for sure. But
yeah,
you don't want to force someone to have to watch someone else like move in on your person.
Exactly. Ugh. It was just like, I was so entertained.
I was blown away.
Yeah. I couldn't blown get over away. The chaos of it all. And then the fact that now we have Colby and April, who's both people they've chosen, are now engaged. So they're like, oh, well, why don't we just match up? But it makes sense because we both took the process seriously. We both are the ones that issued the ultimatum. So why don't we give it a shot? That makes sense, right?
So April and Colby, I think they're both fine people. They are the two in the same boat where they are just so head over heels for their significant other. They're really not even interested. I mean, I think even with them being like a little upset that the people they kind of picked are now off the table, I don't even think they really wanted to be with those people forever.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe they had some attraction or some comfort, but I don't think that they were really ever going to walk away with that other person. But I want them to kind of be a little more open to each other than they actually are. They kind of make a pact. They're just like, well, let's just sort of like fist bump friend it out. Like, haha, high five. Let's just sort of get the most out of this experience. And like, if they're really going to spend this experience truly like trying to better their relationships, like their individual relationships, maybe they'll get something out of it. But it's interesting. So
yeah, I mean, with this choice ceremony, it just ended on such an awkward note because April was giving a lecture to everybody about taking this process seriously, because if she can do it, y'all can too. And she storms out, and then everyone kind of gets up, and it's just like, all right, hugs all around. And then we are
so weird.
Introduced to the couples. It's like, oh, it's okay. I guess everybody did choose now.
I was like, I guess they're a couple now. Like, right. Yeah, the April and Colby thing was definitely just like team who's left.
Yes,
like it was exactly. Just kind of like what happened. But
right.
Yeah, I kind of liked April's speech again, because she's like, I'm taking this seriously. I have to sit through hearing, you know, like seeing the person I'm in love with tell someone else that they could see a future with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it because I really care and want to better my relationship. And then y'all are just acting scared.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was the choice, maybe the choice ceremony or whatever. But when we come back, we are going to talk about the couples moving in and just what else was left in episode 4. All righty. So we have our couples. We have April and Colby. We have Shanique and Zay, Madeline and Randall, and Ray and Jake.
Yes. So if you were wondering about the other two couples, they're gone.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever see them again. Maybe in the reunion show, hopefully. Would love to know what happens with Nate and Lauren.
Yeah. We did get that spy shot, which is like, why are they in an apartment equipped with cameras? But we did get that spy shot of Nate and Lauren. And Lauren's like, well, we still need to like talk through our issues. And he's like, I know, like, what, you know, we'll be fine.
He was like, it's fine. First, we're going to get married and then we'll talk through our issues.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not walking down the aisle if I haven't agreed to have kids.
Right. Like,
so,
I don't know. It was interesting. And yeah. I think I misspoke earlier because I think I said something about like being excited to see Hunter and Alexis in the phase where they get to live together. I don't think we're going to see them in that phase. I don't know why I said that, because I'm so curious to know like what they do or don't like about each other, because I don't know why they had an ultimatum really. But
yeah, it's not like the plan is these couples are supposed to go back to their original partners and live for 3 weeks. So why couldn't they just shoot that part for them and they end it early maybe? Or maybe we revisit them once all the couples are back together.
Maybe. I guess we'll find out. We'll play right. That later. Let's start with Colby and April. They're very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I think we got the least of them from this episode by far.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Probably because of the pact they make where they're like, we're going to just sort of get out of this what we need. Like, they're the only couple we don't see introduce each other to any sort of family or friends or anything like that.
They said, we don't have to do that.
We know we're not, you know, they're not trying to see if there's any potential with each other. Now, I'm not saying that they should be trying to do that if they're really truly just wanting to get back with their original person, but they don't seem to have like any major red flags that would make them not an okay couple from the tiny bit we've seen.
Yeah, besides the fact that they are just madly in love with someone else.
Well, yes,
I think if they didn't have that going on, I could see them finding some commonalities and being able to at least date. But the fact that they're like, look, we're just doing this for 3 weeks and then we'll be back with the loves of our lives. I think that they're putting the least into this, even though they're the most invested.
Right. And I mean, we're going to hear a little bit of April say stuff like, you know, I'm trying to clean up more around him than I normally would. I'm trying to like practice behaviors that I probably should move forward in whatever relationship I take from them. So, you know, if they're really intent upon doing that, then that's good. Good on them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So then we had Shanique and Zay.
Yes.
So I thought it was really interesting. So like we know these couples are living in the same apartment. And so I was really interested to see how they were going to handle the physical. Like, are they going to be kissing each other? Are they going to be sleeping in the same bed? But with Shanique and Zay, they decided to not sleep in the same bed until like maybe the third week, which I actually was kind of surprised. This format, they were going with like coyote speed.
Yes.
For these weeks. It was like you blink and they're like, yeah, we're week two. And it's like,
these episodes are so weird. Episode one is like, here's the couples. Here's their last night together. Here's the beginning of them trying to talk to some other people. Episode two, here's a lot of them trying to date random other people. Episode three, super fast. It's basically just the dinner conversation.
Yeah.
Episode four, 3 weeks of living together. I'm like, whoa, what are we going to do with the last four episodes?
Exactly. I'm so confused. I'm excited to see, but man, we sped through this.
So I do want to say, look, I understand that it's like the classic chivalrous move for like the guy to be like, I'm going to take the couch and you can have the bed.
Mm-hmm.
That is a full size bed or queen or something.
Yeah.
I would feel so bad. Little 5'3½ me taking that up while Zay has to sleep on this little couch and he looks so uncomfortable.
Exactly.
And I'd be like, I understand boundaries. You don't want to share a bed. That's fine. Then pick the couch. If you're the, I have a bad back. I can't sleep on I need a bed. Like, that'd be great. But I sleep on my little love seat like constantly. So I'd be fine stepping into that. But he's very, very nice, sleeps on the couch, respects her boundaries. I noticed that at the 1 week mark though, they're back in the bed together. Although she says that he has to be on top of the comforter though. So
yeah,
still putting up those boundaries. That's okay.
Right. And so he's having like a difficult time because he's used to being in such a physical relationship. So that's another sign about him and Ray's relationship. But I feel like, yes, we saw chemistry from them, but I don't know if I see a real potential from them in just how they're interacting with each other, how they're getting to know each other.
They seem a little awkward. I mean, truthfully, they seem like two people who are basically strangers trying to live together, which is what most people should. Whereas a lot of these other people just seem a little more accustomed to the lightning pace of these dating shows where you move in and then you're like, okay, we're dating. That's just how it is.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was kind of, I don't know. I mean, he ends up meeting her family. Things go well there because they realize they have similar backgrounds. They have like, they come from humble beginnings, and we learn that like he doesn't have a relationship with his parents. So it was really nice seeing him opening up. And I kind of was just like, as I watch these couple or as I watch these people in their new relationships, I'm kind of trying to make sense of their original relationships. And I could see with him being comfortable opening up like this, I could see how it is hard for him with Ray, who isn't even comfortable saying how much she likes him.
Yeah. So I really like the scene where he's meeting Shanique's family, because we hear from Ray's side of things later that Ray's father was not a big fan of Zay. And for someone like Zay, who doesn't have the closest family situation himself, I can see how he would be very excited to be with someone who does have that family that's going to pull him in and that he's going to feel part of. Like, he says when they leave here that he really likes her family and would like these people to could see these people in his life in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm not sure that I see the two of them together, I guess I can see where he's less open, where him and Ray do not like, they don't have that support structure amongst the two of them to really open up. And maybe having someone like Shanique, even if it's not her, but like that kind of more direct and open kind of person would probably be helpful for him, because I can imagine that someone who didn't necessarily grow up in the most open, loving family probably needs some of that and wants to feel nurtured in that way.
And you know, like you said, if if it's not Shanique, I hope he can realize that he does need someone similar to Shanique, because even with Shanique in this situation, she's the one who gave the ultimatum. So she's too into Randall right now to kind of open herself up to be available for Zay. And I think if they were in different circumstances, there could be potential there, because I think they do have, they had like an instant connection, and like I could see them easily being able to get to know each other and have a great time together. Even, you know, be able to connect physically at some point, since that's both, that's important to both of them. But the fact that we have these exes that are in the picture, I think that Shanique is just not in a position to move forward in a different relationship.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So next we had, let's go Ray and Jake.
Okay. So Ray and Jake, I like as a couple. I already said this. Yes. I like them together. They definitely seem to want to jump each other's bones. Mm-hmm. They seem to have a lot of chemistry. Mm-hmm. Jake is going to meet Ray's dad, who's a race car driver, and we have a lot about that. They seem to get along. Like, it seems like Ray's father likes Jake, appreciates him being in the military. You know, there's a lot about that. Okay. And this is where their big obstacle comes. Although I don't know if this was an editing thing or what, but
yeah,
they're going to meet Jake's mom. Jake's mom is so Team April. Like,
so you would think April is her biological daughter. Yes.
This felt like Ray and Jake are for some reason talking to April's mom, is what it seemed like.
Yes.
I think what we're not seeing, I mean, they're young. And so I could totally see this being a scenario where Jake is younger. Maybe he's got some his own things that he's struggling with. And Jake's mom sees April come in and support him and care for him and really be the person there for him and something. And that she really respects that and appreciates that. Now, I love my family, but I cannot identify with this just in the fact that my parents were not the type of parents to, like, I don't know, like, put a foot down to, like, defend my relationship. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they were the ones who were like, you know, oh, you guys are young. Like, tell us when it's official, but we're going to kind of just, like, step back. Like, we don't want to influence you either way, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Jake's mom is like, no, I want to influence you to be with April.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like my mom is similar in that it's just like she's Team Asia. So it's like, whoever can make me happy, that's what she supports, you know? So if I need to break up with somebody, then that's what I need to do, right? Whereas Jake's mom is like, it's April, or you need to figure out why you don't think it's April, because it needs to be April. So and 3 years is a long time. So I would imagine April has been around and she has gotten the opportunity to really develop a strong relationship with her, especially because he's an only child.
And she doesn't have a daughter. Like, I would love to have this relationship with my future significant others, like, you know, parents or whatever. Like, I want our parents to support our relationship and to defend our relationship. But since I've only dated people when I was young, I can understand the hesitation of someone being like, okay, well, I don't want to get really invested in my child's, like, college, you know, boyfriend. And then if it doesn't work out, like, oh no, I've sided with the boyfriend, like, whatever. Like, no. But yeah, so it's interesting because his mom asks Ray, like, oh, do you see a future with Jake? And she's like, yes, I do. I really like him. And she's like, okay, Jake, I'm going to need to talk to you because that girl ain't it.
Right.
Like, what's wrong with Ray? Like, why do you just like her? And I don't think that
she's
she
not
even
April.
Really.
That's it.
Right. It doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with Ray. She just, like, really likes April. And then this is where I got confused, because later on they go paddleboarding where they kiss, which was something I wasn't sure about. I was like, oh, wait, are these, like, are they going to, like, be together, but it seems like most people just, like, kind of barely kiss, if that.
I don't know.
And Jake is like, Ray's like, yeah, my dad likes you, and Jake's like, yeah, my mom loves you.
Like, yeah, wait, it's like, why are you lying?
Why are you lying to her? You because I'm pretty sure that's not what she said.
You might watch this back. What are you doing?
So, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about them? Do you think that they stand a chance?
I think they stand the highest chance. If there is a couple that comes out of this and they leave their original partner, I would think it would be Ray and Jake. Because especially, it's not a situation where it's like, oh, Ray's better with Jake, but Jake really needs to be with April. I feel like they're both in a position, even though Ray was the one to give the ultimatum, I feel like they're finding they have a lot in each other that they want that they're not getting in their original partners.
Yes.
And so, and which I think is the idea of the show is that like, oh, you might find that you match up with somebody that, you know, can meet your needs better. So I think if we do see anybody end up together, it would be them.
Yeah. Or even maybe that they see that there is a possibility out there to be with someone who fulfills something for them that they're not getting. And whether it's
right. Like if one of them goes to their,
right.
Yeah. If one of them goes, I think that would only happen if one of them goes to their original partner, but if they don't want to go back to their original partner, like if they both don't want to go back to their original partners, I cannot see them leaving alone.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know with them. It's tricky because I'm really team them, but I'm also so team Rachel. So, I mean, I'm not Rachel, sorry, April.
April, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. We'll see. Yeah. It's tricky. It's definitely interesting. Very curious to see what happens when we get to the next phase. But
right. Yeah.
So
the last couple.
Yep.
Yes. Madeline, Randall. I don't know about them.
I don't know. I'm so confused because I really thought this was going to be the couple that was like, you know what? Screw everybody else. We're just going to hook up and we're just going to have fun for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I kind of, you know, I underestimated them a little bit I don't know. Well, I'm not sure. They definitely have a lot of flirty moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that. Madeline's going to introduce Randall to her friends who are all like, oh, Colby, he's not much like. One of her friends is like trying to get her 15 minutes of fame.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I hooked up with Colby in college. He wasn't rememberable.
Right.
But Randall would be so much more rememberable.
The fact that the closed caption had rememberable She said it multiple times.
I'm like, poor Colby is just getting picked on by all of these friends. And then Madeline's like, oh my gosh, like I kind of thought my friends were going to defend Colby, but no, they're like even more team Randall than I am.
Yeah. And I'm like, I guess her friend and Colby hooked up before her and her friend got together. So it was like,
yeah,
who was the worst friend? Like for Madeline to get with Colby after he hooked up with one of her friends. I think it was like
in college, Madeline's friend hooks up with Colby and is like, eh, not my thing, but maybe you'd like my friend Madeline. Here, I'll set you two up. Like, that's right. The vibe I got. But it was just funny because I'm like, her friend just wanted to be on TV for a second and tell her story.
They were at this place called Patrizzi's, which when I was in college, I have actually.
Ooh.
So when I was in college, my senior year, I was in my management information systems class. We had to pick a business in Austin to fix a need for them with some type of like technology. And so we picked this food truck called the Jalopy, and we built like an inventory app for him to manage his inventory. Well, the guy who owned it, Nick, the guy who owned it opened Patrizzi's as his like brick, like as a second restaurant for himself. So he owns that restaurant. I was just like, that was the moment I realized it was in Austin. And I was just like, how did I miss that? But that was so cool because I've worked with the owner of that restaurant back when I was in college, 10
years
ago.
That's so cool. That's so cool to like see places on TV that you've been. I don't know. I always find that interesting when it's like your hometown or whatever.
Right.
Neat. So then they have another chat. And I think the chat when they were having ice cream was very interesting because Madeline was just like, I just want to hook up with him. Like, if he made any move toward me, this would be a dangerous situation.
Yeah, she said they had already decided not to be physical, but she wants otherwise.
She's like, we've decided not to be physical, but if we change that decision, I am down.
I am on the board.
Yeah, that's what she seemed like. And then he, on the other hand, was really interesting because this is where he finally started to like really open up and be mm-hmm. like, I feel like we agree on a lot of values. Like I'm ready for children potentially with the right person. I could see that. Like, I don't want everything to happen like right away and all that. And I like Randall, and I feel like maybe this couple is the second highest chance of actually right. potentially working out, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure what Madeline is bringing to Randall that he
isn't besides, getting.
Well, yeah. He says that it's the listening, like that she listens to him. But probably because she's sitting there just thinking about all the things that they could be doing.
Right. Like, I feel like Shanique can listen.
Yeah.
But that's if she learns through this relationship with Zay that she needs to work on her listening. Like, if yes. he brings it up to her, the second part of the experiment, when they're back with their original partners, if Randall's like, look, I've learned that my biggest issue in our relationship is that I don't feel heard and I need you to listen. If she realizes that that's the thing that's keeping him from just walking away or proposing or whatever, then maybe that is the change that they need. But otherwise, I don't see anything else that Madeline is bringing to the table that he's like, oh, Shanique does not have this. I'll never have this. She checks every single box. I think Madeline is just someone who is insanely attracted to Randall. And that's kind of where it ends.
I agree. So I don't know with them. We'll find out. It is interesting. So those are really what we get out of the 3 weeks of everyone together. And then because it's a show that's made by the same people as Love is Blind. Yes. We got to bring the drama. So we got to have a guy's night out and a girl's night out, which I'm assuming we're like at the same location. Just the girls were on the patio outside right. and the guys were inside. That's what it seemed like. So the guys, can you break this down and explain to me what happened? I mean, I was watching 1.5 speed, so I don't know what happened. But
it's very confusing.
There's a fight between Zay and Colby. Mm-hmm. And I could not understand what they were fighting about. So
the way it made it seem was Zay and Colby went out one night. Zay, from Colby's end, Zay brought a girl to Colby to say like, hey, I'm introducing you to this girl. Colby ends up making out with that girl. And because that happened, Colby blames Zay for that. But Zay's like, I can't make you do anything. We were just hanging out. And I introduced you, but I'm not the reason that you cheated on April or Madeline, however you want to look at it, because he made out with a girl while they were going out. But Colby wasn't really explaining so much of the story. He was more so keeping silent and like trying to force Zay to explain. But Zay was getting angry because he didn't want to be blamed for the situation of him making out with another girl. So Zay moves.
Okay.
And That's basically what it was. I think that they were out at night. Colby made out with a girl and he wasn't taking the blame.
Yeah, I feel like Colby was trying to say like, well, you brought the girl for me to make out with, basically.
Yeah.
And then Zay was like, that's not what happened.
Yeah. You're
like stretching the truth or whatever. I don't know. I don't think any of this matters because Colby's not interested in April and they've made a pact to basically just be friends.
And Madeline,
everyone else is making out with people. So like,
I'm making out with somebody. And yeah, Madeline wouldn't care because she's so into Randall. So I don't think any feelings are being hurt right now. So I just felt like it was an unnecessary story to tell.
But then in Zay's defense, even though I don't think Colby is this way, if I'm sitting across from the table from someone who's just kind of like egging me on, I would be upset too. And I'd be like, I don't need to be blamed for whatever thing you did.
Right.
So, okay. That was interesting.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and the only other main thing from the guys' night out was Jake telling Zay, like, look, Ray has an issue with your social media. Clean it up. basically she doesn't like you get the attention from the girls. And Zay has the perspective that Ray needs to accept him how he is. So it's like, oh, well, she's not going to like that.
Okay. The whole, like, accepting someone for how they are. Yes, you shouldn't be trying to change someone fundamentally. But also relationships are about compromise. And if someone's like, exactly, hey, this thing you do is, like, it hurts me, they're entitled to their emotion about that and their feeling. And if you truly love them, you would not want them to be hurt. And you'd probably try to find a way to compromise. Maybe you continue to post some shirtless pics, but every once in a while throw in one that you're in a relationship.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That was interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the only other thing was Colby.
Yeah.
Gets emotional and then tells the guys that he's like, I am so sure I want to be with Madeline. And then Randall's like, all right, Colby, I got to break it to you. I did kiss Madeline. It did happen. And we've truly connected. And I just want to let you know, basically, prepare yourself. I was like, why does Randall feel the need to tell Colby this? But then I was like, if Randall does want to be with Madeline potentially after this, and they're about to move into phase two of going back to their original couples, maybe Randall just kind of wants to stake a little bit of a claim there too.
Right. Because, I mean, now Colby sees him as a threat, apparently.
Did you bring your girlfriend on a show where she gets to date someone else?
Oh, it's all so confusing.
Gosh, for our entertainment.
But yeah, we end the night on with the girls' night drama. So one of the thing is that it's just so awkward. They're all asking the details of things. And Ray does admit to kissing Jake. And April's like, how was it? He does have nice lips. It's just like, ugh.
But I am still applauding April in this moment. Because while she's clearly upset and emotional, she's like, I realized that I wasn't giving Jake what he wants. And like, I told him to explore this fully. And that's sort of like, it's the choice I made. It's the bet I got a lion, whatever, something like that, you know? And so like, she's clearly upset about all this.
Yeah.
But she's not like yelling at Ray and telling Ray like off. She's like,
right,
I don't know, holding it better. Madeline, who has decided that she needs to just give everybody advice, which I'm half on Madeline's side and half off her side. I mean, I'm not really on her side, but I'm like, she is like that really harsh sort of frenemy who like tells you what you need to hear.
She was so drunk during this entire evening.
But she also is like one of those people who is like, well, it's the truth, I gotta tell you. And it's like, yeah, but you don't have to be mean about it. You can like say it that nicely. Way. Yeah, you don't have to say it that way. But she does tell April, she's like, you talk too much. You talk over Jake. And I can see clearly that you're in love with him. So otherwise, I wouldn't even be this nice.
Yeah.
But like, you need to learn to change a little bit and need to listen to him and stuff.
Yeah, then we learn that April never uses protection with Jake, and has been having some fertility issues, but that, you know, even though Jake says that he doesn't want kids right now, they don't use protection, so he's ready to it's fine to have them whenever. I don't know.
I don't know what is happening here.
Yeah.
Like, where I feel very it's very emotional that April brings up her fertility issues, and clearly this is something that probably was the thing that her and Jake have been going through, that she was referencing of the struggles that they've been going through recently. I could totally understand that.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on with him from his side about his determination to not have kids instantly, but I guess it's just like banking on the fact that she hasn't been able to like conceive right now. Like, I'm not really sure what is going on there.
Yeah.
All the other girls are kind of like, what?
Yeah. It was a very heavy topic for like drinks out with girls, you know?
But why are we having drinks out with girls who are dating each other?
No idea. No idea.
So confusing.
But We did, I guess, a couple more things from the girls' night was that, like, Ray has learned how she behaves with Zay, is that, like, she just retreats when he gets explosive. And Shanique tells Ray that she just doesn't speak up enough.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline is very supportive of Ray and Jake. She says they are an incredible couple. And she says that right there in front of April.
Yeah, that's harsh. And then yes. Madeline is also going to say that Randall's her perfect guy, and that Shanique, yes. that Randall doesn't feel like she listens to him, which is something that Shanique should probably learn, but not from Madeline in that
not
way.
Not from Madeline at all.
Yeah.
And not right now. She's not right in now. Any state of mind to be giving constructive criticism about their relationship, because she just thinks Randall's sexy, and she thinks it's an appropriate time to talk about how they've kissed off camera and that he's intentional with everything he does. So he did that for a reason. And
Shanique, and some other PG-13 stuff.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, I once again, I'm like, okay, you know what? We're on Netflix. They're dropping the F-bomb. I understand. Mm-hmm. But there are other things. I was like, I didn't know we were just going to talk right. about this. Oh my gosh. My little... poor little ears can't yes. handle it. But poor Shanique is having to listen to all of this.
Yes. She's upset. And Madeline just says, I don't care. It needs to affect her. Why? If you want him, you know, like
it doesn't. It's like I've already seen comparisons between Madeline and Shake, and they're very different. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. Very different. But this attitude that like, because they're on a TV show, they get to just like call people out and reveal whatever they want. Like it should hurt you. You should know this. Why?
But, right.
Like Shanique hasn't done anything wrong. It's not yeah. like she's, you know, committed a crime or like done something to hurt Randall. They might have some compatibility issues. That's not exactly. something that you need to like throw at her. I don't know. It was weird. But Shanique and then Shanique also like does say like, I'm hearing what you're saying about Randall, but like, here are some other things that I think are qualities I bring that he doesn't value, which mm-hmm. can also be true. And like, yeah. that's sometimes you both have positive qualities. They just sort of don't match. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So those are our four episodes. Oh, we leave on the cliffhanger. Like she's just like pissed. Right. So those are our four episodes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I went into it with zero expectations. So I really enjoyed it.
Yes, I went in with low expectations. I would say the show completely was not what I was expecting it to be on many different levels.
Yeah.
If you have listened to this podcast for some reason, not watched the show and are debating whether or not you should, I would say you could skip episode two. Maybe just jump to the end with the cliffhanger about at the dinner table. And episode three flies by as well. So there's a couple short ones, but there's so much interesting stuff just with the, if you like couples having sort of relatable drama, but then handling it in an unrelatable way. Like that's right. what I feel like. It's like they have issues that a lot of couples go through, but then they're being put in this bizarre scenario
right
dating other people, so
exactly
I'm very interested
yes
in finding out too. What will come.
Yeah, and I'm glad they just gave us all the episodes, and then they're going to drop the finale and the reunion. I'm glad they didn't span it out like over 3 weeks like they do Love is Blind, especially because it's a new show. I think they're not sure how it's going to happen, but they might, you know, change the format with season two.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
I think they need some new rules, but.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with the choice. But we will be back to talk about the next four episodes that have already dropped. And we will be back before the finale and the reunion drop on April 13th. So just subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed and you will get the podcast for us to finish out talking about the last four episodes that have already dropped.
Yes. And real quick before we leave, I do want to call out a couple of our listeners who left some thoughts for us. Sarah, Miles, and Mel in particular, who left some things for us on Twitter. And if you also want to leave some feedback for us on what you thought of the podcast or on the episodes as we go through, feel free to tweet those to myself at Frail Mary or Asia at Asia Like Asia. what's it, A-Y-S-H-A, yeah. like A-S-I-A.
Yes.
Yes. I can never remember the order for your thoughts on those. But real quick, just a couple of these. Asia, would you ever issue an ultimatum?
No, because I would feel like that is me trying to get them to do something that I want them to do. And I would want them to do it because they want to.
So if you're in a scenario where you feel like there's something that like this isn't, you know, this timeline is not working out, I need something to happen. Would you just leave? Would you? I mean, like, I feel like eventually you sort of have to have conversations about it. And then if you're still at loggerheads, you know, then you.
Right. It's like one of those things you just have. You just continue having conversations. Just like, what are we doing? Where are we going? What's our next steps? Because where are we headed? And if we don't align on that for some time, for a few months, I would give it a few months of these type of conversations. If we don't align on that, then it's like, okay, I have to step away because I'm not going to be in a relationship for like 5 years with it going nowhere.
I would certainly never issue an ultimatum that leads to this show. All right. Do you think that we're going to see any more of Lauren and Nate or Hunter and Alexis?
I hope so. The way they left off with Lauren and Nate, I think that they will show us a little bit more. They can't end with that, right?
I think that we're going to at least get it in the reunion. We'll see. We'll see.
That'll be wild. Know.
Yeah. Do you think that any of the couples who came in together of the four we have left are going to leave engaged?
Ray and Jake, I think.
Any of the original couples.
Any original couples. Oh, that's tough.
You know,
I think
we rule out Madeline and Colby. Not happening.
Absolutely, yes. And I think, and if I'm banking on Ray and Jake, then I have to rule out April and Jake. So I think of anybody, it would be Shanique and Randall, but that's only if they can really get on the same page. I think they're our only hope.
It's interesting because I think Ray and Jake are the most natural that I could see, but I think my second choice would be Jake and April. Like, I think Jake is getting engaged no matter what.
Either way,
like,
yeah.
If you want to blow my mind show, have Jake be like, you know what? I've learned a lot. I'm going to go my separate ways.
I need to do my own thing. Yeah.
Do my own thing. That would be interesting. Last one, first off, Sarah says they should have therapy in these shows as well. Yes,
absolutely.
They should. We mentioned it with Love is Blind. They should also do that here. Listen to our advice. Put couples therapy as a part of the show. Make that part of phase two. And then last, does Madeline even like Colby at all from Mel?
I even think she likes him as a friend.
It doesn't seem like it. Yeah, Mel also agrees with what we said earlier, that their relationship reeks of too comfortable to leave, and that they both would probably be happier with other people. It would take a little while for Colby to get over it, and I think that he would need some recovery time, but I think eventually he could.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank y'all so much for that feedback. But tweet at us if y'all have any further feedback or you want to let us know what you thought about the podcast. So Mary, what are you up to these days?
Covering Big Brother Canada 10 because it's a very exciting season. So I can't even remember, had this show started? I think the show had already started by the time we were still talking about Love is Wine.
Yes.
So it just keeps going, but that's happening, of course, on Robba's podcast, and as well as on Kowski Cast. Riverdale is back for season 6 Part 2. So feel free to check that out if you enjoy just a wild ride in a scripted show that's just as off the walls as any of the dating shows.
I saw that they have like superpowers now.
You know, we stopped questioning it a while ago. So.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, like we said, you can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A Like A-S-I-A. I will be on the Thursday night eviction episode recap of Big Brother Canada 10. Also on the Love at First Sight feed, I am covering Married at First Sight season 14 with Jason Reed. So You can listen there. You don't even have to watch the show if you're just curious to hear about that show. It's also a wild concept about marriage, where these people get married at first sight and then they go through an experiment and then they decide to stay married or get divorced. I will also be joining Rob for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast over on the Survivor Academy this weekend to talk about this episode of Survivor. And then I'll be joining the Top Chef crew on the Reality TV Wrap Ups to talk about the newest episode of Top Chef. And then I'll be joining the post-show recaps, the Dark Walk crew, to talk about Bridgerton, episode 6 of season 2. So excited about all these fun podcasts coming your way. So if you want to listen to any of the content, definitely just go follow both of us on Twitter and we put it all there. But until the next episode drops, we will see y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.